He calls us to have great vision. Don't have small vision. The Holy Spirit doesn't have small vision.
Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. I'm your host, Gerhard, a missionary here with CCO. Today, I sit down with André and Angèle Regnier, the co-founders of CCO, and we have a conversation on the importance of the Holy Spirit in evangelization. Before we get started, if you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca, and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in. One of the things we've talked about in the different episodes that we've done so far is the importance of the Holy Spirit and really listening to the Holy Spirit and where he's guiding us in our missionary work. Unfortunately, the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to get a whole lot of press these days within the Catholic Church. And I really hope we can have a conversation today to really help us understand who is the Holy Spirit, why is he so important to evangelization, and then how do we pay attention to him? Like how can we lean on him to become better missionaries? André and Angèle, you've been doing missionary work for 30 years now. I imagine at some point you made the intentional decision to invoke the Holy Spirit and really lean on him. Could you tell me about that moment in your missionary lives where the Holy Spirit really started to set things on fire, or really, where you really first noticed his presence in the work that you do?
But my first encounters with the Holy Spirit, I would say that in a very life-changing way, would have been at university when I was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ. And the way that they presented the Holy Spirit was in a very relatable and tangible way. And it was through a sharing of the booklet of Have You Experienced the Wonderful... Oh, goodness, what is it called? Have You Had the Wonderful Experience... Don't know. Anyways, so Campus Crusade for Christ has this booklet and a simple teachings on the Holy Spirit and how to incorporate the Holy Spirit into your life. And it was groundbreaking for me because I had envisioned the Holy Spirit as either too mysterious to access, or through my mother's involvement with the Charismatic Renewal, maybe a little too strange for me to be comfortable with. And I was just feeling a little intimidated by the Holy Spirit. But the way that it was communicated to me through their simple teachings was this help that the Holy Spirit is in the Christian life, and especially in witnessing and in bearing witness to the world. And that it's spoken to the part of my life where I want so badly to serve God well. I want to be a witness. I want to do the right things to please God. And I know that my weaknesses and my failures very clearly. And I know that I'm probably not measuring up. I know that I'm probably not doing a great job. And I want so much to be great. But this teaching on the Holy Spirit just kind of broke through all of that and said, like, yeah, like on your own efforts, it will not be enough. You cannot do it well enough. This is why the Holy Spirit was sent. The Holy Spirit was sent to infill us, empower us, be our helper, be our counselor, be the power that he works through us. We are a tool, we are a vessel through which the Holy Spirit can operate. And this was very freeing for me, that I didn't have to try to, in my perfectionistic sort of mentality, impress God or please God in what I'm doing, but that he was completely with me through the person of the Holy Spirit to be doing his work in and through me. God could do it all on his own, but he has chosen to work very incarnationally through people, primarily through Christ, through Mary, like through all of that. But he chooses today to work through us, through the church, through the body of Christ to do his work. And that working through us is not just entrusting to us. It is through the infilling of the Holy Spirit so that it can be made supernatural. The natural efforts are made supernatural. So this is really the heart of my, I guess, breakthrough experience of knowing the Holy Spirit in my life, which would be, I guess, the impetus of the Source faith study. It comes out of that knowledge of knowing the Holy Spirit's constancy and help in the mission, in the Christian life, that I cannot nail it on my own, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, so much can happen in me and through me.
And so for those who are listening who may not know Source, if this is their first contact with CCO, in a tweet, what would the summary for Source be?
Source is a faith study on the person of the Holy Spirit and integrating him into our lives, into our spiritual lives. It's one of five books in our faith study series, the first being Discovery on Jesus Christ, the second being the Holy Spirit. And there's a reason why we put that study second, because the third one is growth, and it's on the basic building blocks of growing your Christian life. Mm-hmm. But we want to put the Holy Spirit second, and it's hard to like layer what comes next. But especially for the Catholic mentality, like I was expressing myself, like we want so much to please God with our works that we will do the things that God wants of us. But we wanted to put the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now is the one transforming you, working in you, through you, so that you can do all of the things. So let's just put the horse in front of the cart and let the Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, empower us. So that's the Source Faith Study. It's the second in the series.
Excellent.
There's been so many discussions, and even there are books and talks about the Holy Spirit that emphasize the need for the Holy Spirit to be present, to be active. But it's still a mystery for me, and I'm sure many, like, how does that actually happen? How does that manifest itself? You know, I could say, come Holy Spirit, but what am I really saying? What am I asking the Holy Spirit to do? You know, help me, lead me, guide me. And yeah, those are all good things, but lately I've been actually reflecting on the role of the Holy Spirit, and he has many roles. It's another reason it's hard to kind of nail him down. The one that reveals, he's the one that reveals Christ in me. He reveals God's plan for my life. He's the one that reveals what is happening before me, you know, maybe even, you know, in a conversation I have with somebody. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives me wisdom or clarity on maybe where that person is and the words that need to be spoken to that person at that time. So what I'm coming to see right now in my spiritual life, and I think it's really important when we're in engaged in mission, is the Holy Spirit as the revealer. He's the one that sheds light on the reality. I think back to, you know, when I had my first real encounter with the Holy Spirit in a very specific way was my last year of university, and I went to a Life in the Spirit seminar, and on the fifth night, they're going to pray over us for the release of the Holy Spirit, the stirring up of the Holy Spirit. I was extremely open to everything the Holy Spirit had to do. You know, I wanted heaven to open up and just pour down, you know, the whole heavenly host, and there'd be an explosion of the Holy Spirit, him working in me. I was open. And so as they were praying with people that evening, the Holy Spirit was manifesting itself in people's lives. You know, some people had the gift of laughter, and another person, they had a sense of, you know, the presence of God in their life, and it was really moving. Another person healing, and another person, they saw a vision of Mary speaking of her great love for them. And it was really a powerful evening of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But when they got to me, you know, I was expecting an explosion, but all I got was silence. And the silence just went on and on for a long period of time. I thought, you know, the person praying over me fell asleep or something, but there wasn't a lot of, you know, earth-shattering kind of a revealing, heavens opening up. It was silence. But after a long period of time, the person that was praying over me just said these simple words: "You will be an evangelist of the youth." And he went to the next person. Well, I was disappointed by the experience, because I was expecting power and healing and visions and, you know, manifestation. But all I got was these simple words, you'll be an evangelist of the youth. But 30 years later, looking back, what the Holy Spirit did that day was reveal to me God's plan for my life. The role of the Holy Spirit was to shed light, clarity on what God was intending for me. And so what I found there, this is where I think this discussion can go, is how do we see the Holy Spirit revealing what we need to know at the time, revealing our sin or revealing guidance or direction, the role of the Holy Spirit in making known what is my next step. I think that's where the Holy Spirit becomes daily. That's where my relationship with Him becomes necessary and also very helpful in my daily life. So what I see the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit in a particular way is that who reveals to us truth or whatever needs to be revealed.
As people have been missionaries for 30 years, you founded a movement. You've in many ways put yourself out on limbs that you feel the Lord is calling you out on. Sometimes at times where from a human lens, you're thinking, this is insane. Why am I doing this? But you feel the Lord calling. How do you lean on the Holy Spirit to really help show you the path and navigate those big moments within your life, but also, as you were talking about earlier, just in the day-to-day, like I'm having this conversation with someone. I feel like there's something that needs to be said here. How do you lean on the Holy Spirit in that?
I think it all starts with our prayer life, meaning that in our time spent with God every day, that the Holy Spirit has to be acknowledged and dialogued with. I have to be calling upon the Holy Spirit and in relationship with Holy Spirit, starting with my prayer life, because that's where I learn the dynamics. You know, we get to know each other. So I know for myself, every morning, you know, we as Catholics are taught, you know, to start our prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we just quickly go through that, you know, doing the sign of the cross. But what I try to do in my time of prayer is that I spend time with the Father and acknowledging Him, worshiping Him, some time with the Son, Jesus, acknowledge what He's done, call upon Him. And then I spend time with the Holy Spirit and recognizing Him, reminding myself who He is, calling upon Him, you know, asking for Him to make Himself known and to reveal truth to me. So it's like I need to be talking to Him daily in my prayer life. And I think out of that time with Him in the morning, then I can walk with Him more intimately, more comfortably throughout the day. But it starts, like if you're just talking about being practical about the Holy Spirit, it starts with my relationship with Him in my prayer.
Yeah, and I think the day-to-day experience, what is helpful for me is actually a framework that would be referring to Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And when I think about the Holy Spirit today, now that Christ has come and gone back and we're waiting for Him to come back, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God with us. And we know that He is God with us because of the referencing in 1 Corinthians. It tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that He chooses to dwell in us, and through, by virtue of our baptism and our confirmation, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And I think we are familiar with that language, or we've heard it through, you know, our sacramental preparations, or we've read it in Scripture. But what I unpack actually in the source study is how crazy that is, that we're talking about the temple, the concept of the temple and the Holy of Holies, and how incredible the temple was as the place for salvation, redemption, mercy, justice, like all of it was wrapped up in the temple and how the Jewish people longed for Jerusalem and the temple and how, you know, the sacrifices happened there and just all of it. And that only, you know, once a year could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies, into the actual presence of the Spirit of God. And then we now no longer have a temple, but we are called that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That place where, you know, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, where Harrison Ford and all those guys, you know, their faces are getting melted off because of the Spirit of God coming to where the Ark of the Covenant is. So this is just mind-blowing if you can just go past all the typical words that we would say in Christian understanding and go like, wow. I am the temple of the Spirit of God. And so, yes, we're going to encounter that temple in our prayer times and in that place of prayer. But then we have in our every waking and moving moment, if he's in me, then he is God with me. He is Emmanuel. And so I'm never alone. He is always before me, behind me, you know. We can't separate the Trinity, right? Because St. Patrick's, you know, breastplate prayer of Christ. But this is the Holy Spirit going before us. And so especially in mission, we're talking about mission and holiness as missionary disciples. So in our life of growing towards the Lord, the Holy Spirit is perfecting us, bringing things to light, revealing the next things that the Lord is working on in our interior lives. But the Holy Spirit is also going before us, leading us, sending us to be witnesses. So he's the whole package.
Mm-hmm. You know, we often, when we're training people to lead a faith study or to do, maybe present a testimony or have a conversation with somebody, we always pray that the Holy Spirit would go before us, that the Holy Spirit would go prepare the way. But again, talking from what Ange was saying, if we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, meaning we don't have to call out into the heavens and say, Holy Spirit, come down and be there. But when we're calling upon the Holy Spirit, we're calling upon the Holy Spirit that's in us. So, you know, we don't have to kind of knock on a door and say, hey, Holy Spirit, by the way, I have a few favors, or I need to ask for you to do something for me. We actually are able to speak to him, invite him, call upon him, even in our thoughts, because he's in us. I want to read something from the Catechism. It's really powerful because, you know, people, I think practically, how do you do that? How do you call upon the Holy Spirit that's in me? You know, if I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, everything, you know, everything that the temple had to offer is in me right now. How do we call upon that? And so in the Catechism, in 2563, it says, the heart is a dwelling place where I am, where I live, according to the biblical expression. The heart is a place to which I withdraw. The heart is our hidden center beyond the grasp of our reason and of others. Only the Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. The heart is a place of decision, deeper than, you know, any psychology. It is a place of truth where we choose life or death. It is a place of encounter because as the image of God, we live in relationship. It is a place of covenant. So when I think about, you know, an opportunity to have a conversation with somebody, I go directly to my heart and call upon the Holy Spirit. In silence, I say, Holy Spirit, give me the words. It's a quick conversation, not to the heavens, but to my heart, where the Holy Spirit is. So, you know, if I'm, you know, in a conversation and seems to, you know, there seems to be struggle or an opportunity is making itself available, I go into the silence of my heart naturally and say, Holy Spirit, give me the words. Or Holy Spirit, open their heart. Or Holy Spirit, you know, help navigate this situation. So it's an interior conversation that's happening. Even now, as I'm talking to you, Gerhard and Angel, you know, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to kind of, you know, do something with my words. So it's this dialogue with you, but at the same time, there's a dialogue happening with the interior part of my heart where the Holy Spirit, the temple is. So it's not a skill. It's an awareness that we are the temple, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and is ready to kind of, you know, just be unleashed upon the earth. All I need to do is call upon the Holy Spirit that's in the depth of my heart.
For those who've never heard of this concept before or have never done this before, how do you know when the Holy Spirit's responded? Do you just have the dialogue, or do you just talk to the Holy Spirit? Okay, help me out here right now. I'm just going to go for it and speak. You said it's a dialogue, and a dialogue is not just me shouting at a wall or down a hole and waiting for my echo to come back. A dialogue is I say something and then someone responds. What's your experience of that response?
Like you're asking, like, do I hear a voice?
Yeah, like someone listening to this who's never tried this, done this, or who maybe has prayed, but their experience of prayer is, well, God maybe listens, but he doesn't say anything to me. What's your experience of this dialogue with the Holy Spirit?
I'm sure you could tackle that one.
Well, I think it'd be nice if God did like voiceovers, like if he just like could change, you know, the tone of voice in your head so that you knew, like, or highlight it in a certain color. But that's not how it plays out. It plays out in the thoughts of your mind. So there'll be, in that conversation with the Holy Spirit, there'll be an inspiration, a thought, a prompting that kind of pushes you in a particular way. Like you just get a sense of an intuition to maybe do something or to explore an area of conversation. So if you were trying to give counsel to someone, or you were trying to reach out to someone in an evangelistic setting and you really don't know where to go, you're in this constant dialogue. You're asking the person questions, asking the Holy Spirit questions, and it just is going to feel like inspirations. But that's an interesting word, right? You're inspired, spirit. So there's this inspiration to go a certain direction, to ask a certain thing. And oftentimes those are fruitful inspirations. I experience that, you know, so often where I'm speaking with someone, giving counsel, and then, you know, you can see in their eyes, like they're stopping and they're like, okay, I can't believe you just said that. Actually, that is opening up something in my mind right now that I hadn't considered. So that is not, wow, am I ever smart, right? Like that's not a smart moment. That's an inspired moment where you know the Holy Spirit was working through you to awaken something, to bring that realization. So yeah, it would be nice if we could tell what's the Holy Spirit voice. And that question comes up often just with prayer. How do I know this is me or this is God or what? Well, he doesn't do voiceovers, but there is this testing of the Spirit. There is this experimenting and like, okay, I don't know if this is you, Holy Spirit, but I'm going to, in faith, talk to this person in this particular area and see if it bears fruit, see if it's resonating. And if not, it's probably just me. Maybe that was just my own idea, but I'm going to give you room. I'm not going to quench the Spirit by not trying, but I'm also not going to, I know that that maybe I got it wrong, you know, but there's this stepping out in faith, and it is surprising how more often than not those inspirations are actually good. They have to be used with prudence. They have to be used prayerfully, because sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you an insight to someone you're working with or talking to or reaching out to, and it's not what you should tell the person, but it's more for prayer. So you might get a sense that this person is really down, really depressed or something. And maybe that's not even super spiritual. Maybe it's obvious that they're depressed. That doesn't mean you should go like, oh, the Holy Spirit's telling me you're depressed.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. As the questions lead, maybe he does invite that. But I would suspect that largely he's saying like, be sensitive, be gentle, pray for this person. There's a heaviness here. Take, like, pray, intercede for them. love them where they're at. And that conversation might be so simple, but interiorly with the Holy Spirit, you're doing a lot for that person. You're meeting them where they're at, you're loving them, you're praying for them, and you're keeping them in prayer throughout the day because something happened in that conversation where the Holy Spirit put them on your heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, when we think of the Holy Spirit and how to engage in the Holy Spirit in the situation you're talking about, you know, in the midst of a conversation, how you practically do that, and as Ange was talking, I think the best way, and I'm seeing myself do this more and more, is actually stop and have that dialogue. Not just kind of, okay, I feel I'm being led right now to go talk to this person, or, you know, just kind of reacting, but it's stopping and having that dialogue. You know, I remember whenever, when I would go and I was going to spend some time with some students, when I would walk towards them, I had 5 minutes to get to where the location we're going to meet, I would always be in a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Okay, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to say? Holy Spirit, go before me and prepare the way. So it was actually a dialogue. It wasn't, okay, I'm just going to depend on the Holy Spirit when I get there. And when I get there, I just do my thing. No, it was an actual conversation that was happening in preparation for the time that I was going to be with these students. And so it was a dialogue. It was kind of a conversation. I remember one particular time that I was in the midst of a meeting where we were going to talk about the future of CCO, and there are people around going to be in that meeting that actually had they had the power to say, you can continue this, the CCO could continue, or we could shut it down right now. And there was some animosity towards CCO. This is in the early days. And so there were people that didn't want us to exist. They wanted us to end. And then there were some people that were kind of indifferent with CCO. Well, this is like in the first 2 years, and I was just a young guy at the time, and I was intimidated by this meeting because there were people of authority here. They had power, you know, and they've been around for a long time. You know, and I'm just coming with this little innocent idea to change the world, you know. And I can remember before going to that meeting, I was in the washroom, and I looked in the mirror, and I was reminded of the scriptures where Jesus and also the apostles talked about, do not worry what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need when you need them. What I learned there is that we would love the Holy Spirit to kind of, shout out to us exactly what we're to say. Okay, I want you to turn right. I want you to say these words.
Teleprompter.
Yeah, teleprompter, exactly. But what usually happens is, and this is where confidence in the Holy Spirit, if I asked for, and he told me that he would give me the words, I live my life with that mindset that, you know, for example, if I'm leading a faith study, or I'm going to give a testimony, and I've prepared well, I'm confident that even if I stumble through it, the Holy Spirit is going to anoint the words, give me the words, the stumbling words that will produce what it intended, meaning change lives. The power will go forth. So I come from the place of confidence that he is going to guide me and direct me. I might not see it. It might not be as clear. Like I think of the biblical story of Philip, St. Philip, where he saw the caravan driving by, and the Holy Spirit, I don't know, it doesn't say it was an audible voice, but he was, inspired of the Holy Spirit to go and speak to that person, the eunuch, the Ethiopian. And I'm sure that there is a lot of anxiety and, you know, second guessing, you know, what, go speak to them? Why would I do that? But fundamentally, he had a trust that if they failed the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that he would do what he needed to do. Well, there wasn't, you know, he didn't have a manual. Okay, now you knock on the door and now you enter into this conversation. No, he was being led by the Holy Spirit, but it came from a place of confidence that the Holy Spirit was going to lead him.
The one thing that struck me as you were saying is that this confidence in the Spirit gives us freedom to just be ourselves and bring what we have to the table, knowing that, yeah, I'm not perfect. I'm not a world-class orator, or I may have fear of speaking in front of others, particularly groups, is something that a lot of people have and something that I know myself I worked through personally. Just having the confidence in spirit, if we feel inspired that I should do this, just to go ahead and do it. We don't need to be perfect. If the Holy Spirit is asking us to do something, he knows our flaws, he knows our weaknesses. We're not going to surprise him with anything. But what we have to offer is enough for him to use, and we just need to step forth and do it.
A lot of people that are called to do something at a parish level or a campus level or anything for the church, give a testimony, lead a small group, or whatever it might be, we often approach it in fear and trembling. I do not know enough, or I can't do that, or I'm not this person. You know, I'm not gifted in this area. So there's kind of like Moses when he was asked to set the people free. You know, he had objections of why he shouldn't be the guy to do this. So we're confronted with that all the time. The Holy Spirit, we learn in 1 Timothy, where he says, you do not receive the fear of the spirit of fear, but of love and courage. The Holy Spirit is meant to be there to inspire courage. Now, if that's the case, and I've been in this place where I say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm afraid, give me courage. I don't instantly have courage. It doesn't kind of, oh, wow, now I can walk on water. So the Holy Spirit doesn't make me feel courageous, but I trust that the Holy Spirit has given me courage. So I step out. I say, okay, the Holy Spirit has said that I have courage. So yes, I will. Yes, I'm open. Yes, I will say that. Yes, I will do something I don't think I could do. So we step out. He gives us the courage to step out. Not the sentiment of courage, but the conviction to step out.
The practice of courage.
Yes, the practice of courage.
Yeah.
And so I do what he tells me to do, and that in itself is courage. So I'm obedient, and by being obedient, the Spirit has given me courage to do that. So it's very practical. It's not, I think, you know, where we tend to think that the Holy Spirit is a sentiment or a power that comes and makes my body shake, although that happens at times. But most of the time, I think the Holy Spirit calls us to act, calls us to go against what, you know, our nature might feel resistant to do. You know, I can't do this because.
Yeah, Cardinal Sarah describes it as the hidden and humble victories.
Yeah, that's, explain that. I don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, so in his book, God or Nothing, he's talking about that sanctity more often than not is not found in big works of power, like giant miracles, or I went and I converted a small or a large nation single-handedly, but that sanctity is found in the hidden and humble victories over ourselves that we have every day. And yeah, as you were speaking, it really struck me that that's how the Spirit works in us as well. It's what he's prompting us to do is hidden and humble victories, often things that we are the only ones that are ever aware of, or maybe someone like a spouse who knows us really well may look at me like, wow, that was out of character for you, but you know, like you did a great job with that. But oftentimes what the prompts of the Holy Spirit, yeah, it's a hidden and humble victory to step forth in that way, not some, you know, the clouds part and I levitate and then perform a miracle. Yeah.
How necessary is the Holy Spirit in our apostolic activities. We know he's, of course, the spiritual response is we need him for everything because he's the one that makes it possible. But how important is he if, for example, I'm giving a testimony? What role does he play in giving a testimony? Like if someone was to share something, you know, the pastor said, hey, you know, I'd like you to share your story on how Alpha had an impact on you. How important is the Holy Spirit in that whole process? Like, how would we engage in the Holy Spirit to make it possible? And what would he do for us in the midst of that? That'd be a great great study, you know, to break it down. You know, for example, well, the first thing that when I'm preparing, I need the Holy Spirit to inspire me on the words that I should, you know, I should write down for my testimony. So at that moment when I'm preparing, I should stop and say, Holy Spirit, inspire me. Give me the words. And then to stop and to kind of listen to what the Holy Spirit might have you say. So what might happen is he might place a scripture on your heart and go to that scripture and read it. Or he might remind you of an experience you had leading up to your encounter at Alpha. Or the Holy Spirit might remind you of a word that was spoken at Alpha that really helped you come to terms with who God is in your life. Or the Holy Spirit might remind you of, you know, your present fear of doing this, you know, your hesitation that I'm not worthy of doing this. And so the first thing is call upon the Holy Spirit in preparation and then stopping and allow the Holy Spirit then to speak, to guide and direct. So I think the first, you know, in preparing to do that testimony, the first is to stop and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in your preparation. But once you've prepared, where does the Holy Spirit, now what kind of plays out?
Well, I think in all of it is an awareness of this is the Holy Spirit's thing, that he is God with us. So he chooses to work his mission with us, through us, when he could just do it on his own. So this is really what he's up to. So he wants to inspire the thoughts. He wants to give power to the words that you're saying, to inspire the exact phrasing that you use, the tone in which you say it, and to prepare the listener to receive it. And that any of the successes are, you know, properly understood as the Holy Spirit, you know, activating mm-hmm. and working through that. Not that our natural gifts are not good. I mean, those are also gifts from God. They are also gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. So, but there's this cognizance of it's the Holy Spirit doing it. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through and with it. And I think, at least my issue that I started with the beginning of this podcast is that I was always, my tendency is to try to do things for God, to do well for him, to present well for him, to be, you know, to do a good job, devoid of his presence. I want to impress him, please him. But this is an invitation in the life of the Holy Spirit is to do it with him, through him, by him. So the preparation for the evangelist or the witness of faith is to be in this constancy, this constant dialogue of communion with the Holy Spirit, of what do you want me to do? What are you inspiring me to do? How do I love this person right now? How do I speak to this person? How do I care for this person? How do I, whatever it is. But when we are living a living relationship with the Holy Spirit, it isn't what I think we think about the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit comes on the powerful. He comes to the powerful people, gives them more power, and he does something like totally awesome and crazy. And what we're proposing here is like, no, the Holy Spirit dwells in each heart through the gifts of their baptismal graces and their confirmation, that he has given spiritual gifts and the fruits, and all those things are active. And by this intentional collaboration with him, even more so can the Holy Spirit have his way in our lives and in our mission. So we need to, there needs to be awareness. There needs to be a calling upon him, an invitation for him to work through these situations. So while you're on stage, while you're in a coffee shop, while you're driving, like whatever it is that this, if we can develop a practice of mm-hmm. communion and conversation with the Holy Spirit, then we don't fall into a mentality of like, I've got to do things for God and I hope he's happy with me. I hope I'm doing the things he expects of me. But when you're constantly talking to your friend and you guys are in it together, it's different. The tone is different. The experience is different. It's less performance oriented and it's more responsive.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing from you is, if you think just how practical the walk with the Holy Spirit is first is recognizing that we are the temple, like the Holy Spirit is in us. You know, our baptism makes it possible for us to be that vessel, that temple. So the Holy Spirit's there. It's our job. It's our opportunity. It's something we need to learn to do, is to be in relationship with him constantly, to always be in dialogue with him wherever we might be, whatever we're doing. So it's always going back into our heart, going to the temple, and then having a dialogue and asking for the graces we need at the time. But then what I'm hearing you say is to have the confidence that once we do ask, he moves. He kind of, you know, enters into the situation and does the work of whatever needs to be done. Like if it's confidence, or if it's words of wisdom, or if it's a path cleared for us, whatever the Holy Spirit can do, and he can do all things, then we just have confidence that that's in play. You know, we might not see it right in front of us, but we're confident in the Holy Spirit that he's doing his work.
He's the protagonist of any evangelistic efforts, and he's the protagonist of our sanctification. He's the one at work. So it's not like we have to like conjure him up or tell him to come. Like you said, like the invitation is there for us to ask him, but also he is at work, and he's just looking for collaborators and who's in the game, right? So we can be those collaborators with the Holy Spirit, so that, and that's how he chooses to work. He chooses to work through us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you say, Ansha, that in the 30 years of what we've been engaged in on campus, that the Holy Spirit has played a significant role in the changing of lives?
You guys keep talking about 30, like it's, but I'm only 30 years old. So this,
yeah,
all this just yeah. is really hard to
that's
make sense.
That's why CCO gave birth to you.
Oh yeah, that's how it worked. What was the question? I was lost in the 30.
Yeah.
Such a big number.
Yes, exactly. It's a little overwhelming to be 30 years old, or to be involved in ministry for 30 years old. I can remember, I think it was last year, that we only had 3 years of experience. The 30 years have went really fast. 30 years is a long time. I remember my grandma and grandpa talking, like, I remember 40 years ago or 25 years ago with that storm. And I would thought, oh, wow, 25 years ago, he's old. Well, I'll tell you, Ansha, you're not so old, but I'm extremely old. But, you know, being old is a good thing because you have experience. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically my question is, in 30 years of experience, would you say that the Holy Spirit has played a significant role in, and I know the answer is yes, but maybe expand on that, what kind did? How important of a role did the Holy Spirit play in the last 30 years?
Right. I guess one possibly a more interesting question. This is for either of you. What are some of the what stories do you have of where you've seen the Holy Spirit really manifest himself or reveal something within CCO, either as an organization or with a particular person that you've been accompanying or like trying to lead to conversion? Do you have what's a story or two from the last 30 years?
It is kind of hard just to come off the top of the head, but that is certainly a big part of the Holy Spirit in our movement would be the leadership, the listening for what the Holy Spirit is saying, giving room, a significant amount of time in our meetings for prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit and Scripture and the Lord guiding us through those things. And in fact, we really won't move on much unless the Holy Spirit is guiding us on a prophetic level of what we're to do, that there's confirmation through Scripture or this time of communal prayer that we feel confident the Holy Spirit's leading us. This translates into even the on-the-ground evangelization with students. I know you're looking for a story, and it's like everything and nothing. I don't know how to, you know, pull one, but it is so often a conversation or an encounter that's happening, and the student is being moved towards Christ in extraordinary ways. And I mean, these are all supernatural things. It isn't because we just delivered a program and we did all the things. It is because the Holy Spirit moves in people's hearts, moves through the witnesses of these people. And I don't know, in all of it, we really do try to give the Holy Spirit primacy in CCO. So we would, you know, use a maxim of Father Bob Bedard, which is, you know, give God permission. We want to give the Holy Spirit permission. We don't want to be so organized and so structured, and we're pretty organized, but so structured that we don't leave room for the Holy Spirit. We don't leave room for what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And we do give him that, like verbally, you know, express to him, Holy Spirit, we give you permission here. We even did that this morning in staff prayer, giving him the freedom to have, this is his movement. This isn't just our plan or our project. How do you want to breathe life into it? How do you want to use us? And where are you leading us?
Well, it's interesting, a story. I remember we're called, Angèle and I, to move from Saskatchewan to Ottawa about 21 years ago. And it was a difficult decision. But we knew in our heart as we were praying that the Lord was inviting us to be missionary and to go wherever he have us go and say whatever he have us say and do whatever he have us do. And so the discussion and the discernment came to, you know, that the Reyniers would bring CCO to Ottawa. Well, that was really hard for us. We're open, we're ready to do it, but we're leaving family and friends and comfort. And we're leaving Saskatchewan, which was very, very difficult. And so there was some inner struggle, lots of prayer, you know, lots of, you know, second guessing and tears and, you know, real confusion about, okay, what is going to happen when we get there? It's interesting, the day, and this is where the Holy Spirit comes and he comforts also, he confirms. The day we were leaving, we had a mass at our office, and the reading that day was from the gospel, obviously the gospel. Jesus says, you know, whoever leaves, you know, their home, their family, their friends, for my sake, you know, I will bless him, by the way, terrible translation, that I will bless him, I will take care of him, I will multiply, they'll be fruitful, and I'll have great pleasure in them. So the very comforting, you know, the Holy Spirit confirmed in us, this is my will. You know, you discerned well, and here's, you know, from the beginning of time, I prepared a scripture that would be in the cycle of the liturgy of the mass, and I would speak to you. The day that you would leave, I would have that ready for you. And so, you know, we've often referred back to that, that experience, that the Holy Spirit, we made the decision, we stepped out, and the Holy Spirit, and we were obedient to the Holy Spirit in his leading, then he confirmed to us that what you've done is pleasing to God. Even though it's sometimes it's not always good, it's hard. The Holy Spirit leads us somewhere. Sometimes it's very difficult. It's not like, you know, everything is just going to be beautiful if you follow the Holy Spirit. No, it was hard traveling to Ottawa. There's a lot of pain and, you know, sorrow and difficulties and challenges, but it was a blessing. It was a blessing. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It leads us perfectly into the will of the Father. But we have to be people that stop, call upon the Holy Spirit, listen to hear his voice, which we are the temple. He's in us. We don't have to kind of scream out into the sky and just hope it he latches on or makes some time for us. We are the temple. In the silence of our own heart, he will speak to us. Mm-hmm. And then with confidence, we step out. We might not have the sentiment of confidence or courage or wisdom, but we step out in confidence, knowing that this is where he's leading us.
Yeah. Well, time's ticking down. Angèle, do you have any last words, last statement?
Last statement, I guess, would just be that the Holy Spirit and the Lord seems to prefer the weak, seems to choose the small. If you look biblically, it is, you know, Moses saying he has a speech impediment, David being the youngest of the brothers, Mary being the young woman that she was. And he seems to go over the powerful and find the frailest, weakest, simplest, so that his power can be made known. And this is scripture that not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And he wants to collaborate with the weakness and smallness that we are to do something phenomenal and great, to incorporate us into the joy of sharing the gospel, the joy of a life in him. And so for those that are listening, and I think the tendency, like I said before, is to think, well, the Spirit is for the powerful, the most gifted. They get the full range of the lightning and the thunder, the Thors out there. But that's not how the Christian God works. He chooses
the lowly.
The lowly, the pure, the small. And this is very Thérèse, one of our, you know, our saints, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. This is her spirituality. Like he seems to almost prefer me because I'm so pathetic. And so the Holy Spirit can be more manifest, so that the glory doesn't come to me because of my skill. It comes because the Lord has worked through me and I'm not the natural. So this gives a lot of confidence, I think, for all of us in the spiritual life, that the Holy Spirit is for each of us. It is not just for the gifted.
Thanks for joining us today for our discussion on the Holy Spirit. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, conundrums, or otherwise, please email us at podcast@cco.ca. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share us with your friends. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.